Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. The word of truth that you are about to hear is from Apostle Will T. Washington. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website at 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved under God, Yahweh, a workman, needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
You may be seated. We want to acknowledge those who are joining us on iChurch in Spanish and in English. Thank you for joining us today. Hopefully, we will say something that will make a difference in your lives. We have been teaching on the tabernacle. Could we put that up, please? And our subject, rather than saying our subject is the tabernacle, our subject is one way to God. And the reason this subject is so important, and the reason the Holy Spirit has placed me in this particular area to minister, is because there are erroneous views that there are many ways to God. You know, some would write and say there are many tributaries, but they all wind up at the same place. But even today, we'll find out that there's only one. There's only one way. Yeshua said, enter in at the what? The straight gate, right here. Enter in at the straight gate. Because he says if you try to get in any other way, you're a robber and you're a thief. So that's one way to God. And we have gone through the steps that we take. Normally, when we talk about salvation, it comes in threes. Here, we must enter in at the gate. We must stop here at the brazen altar of sacrifice, which is representative of the cross of Yeshua. And then we must stop at the brazen laver. Here we are baptized in water, and we are baptized from above in the Spirit. And then and only then do we enter in to the Mishkan, enter into the tabernacle, the church. Now let's show the insides of the holy place. Because when we come into this place, the holy place. This place is representative of the church. And there are three things that you must do. You must worship at the table of shewbread, which we have just finished, which is a type of the word of God. You must minister at the lampstand, the golden lampstand or the menorah, and you must minister at the golden altar of incense. Pastor Tom said today that prayer is getting a little slack. If you don't pray, you're not even in God. A person who will not pray has no God in them. Let me say that again. A person who will not pray has no God in them. having the Holy Spirit in you drives you to prayer. Hallelujah. But I'll have plenty of time to minister here at the golden altar of incense, but now we are ministering at the golden lampstand. Now let's go to the golden lampstand, the second one, not the first one you all showed me last week, but the second one. Oh, there we are. This is the golden lampstand. Now we made the point that this was carved out of one block of pure gold. This is one of the great wonders of the world. This is done by hand. And so what we found out last week is that God can anoint you to do things you never knew you were able to do if you give yourself to Him. And I made the point to say that this church was built by young people who didn't go to college. They came right out of high school. They came and got saved. And God gave them abilities that they never thought they had to build, not this building. This building represents the local position of the church. But the church of God is in our what? Heart. So we build the building over there. That was no different from the building over there than the building over here. It looked the same, but it was the church. Does that make sense to you? Okay. So today we want to talk about a little bit different aspect of the lampstand, or the menorah. We said before it represents the Holy Spirit. But also the menorah also gives us a more comprehensive view of God. Remember, it was carved out of one block of pure gold. It could not be broken into pieces. It had to remain unified. And that speaks to us of the oneness and the unity of God. Sometimes there are things that we don't understand. Do you all agree with that? But simply because you don't understand it doesn't make it untrue. When we are dealing with spiritual matters, we must understand when we are talking about God, there is so much we don't know about God. All we know about God is what He revealed to us about Himself. But we don't know, and that's very little. But sometimes when we can't explain things, we have to make up stuff. When we logically cannot explain something, we just make stuff up. Because the human thought system says we have to what? Be able to logically explain our faith. Some rationale, yes, rationally explain it. But some things you have to just accept by faith. You can't understand it. It cannot be explained. You have to accept it by faith. I'll give you one. Yeshua died on the cross. Do you understand what happened on that cross and what made it so that His blood now applies to you and will wash your sins away? Do you understand that? Somebody say, I understand it. No, you don't. How did the blood get off the cross? Right? What happened on that cross? How is it that He could die for the whole world? And how is it that though we can't see the blood, we know it's applied to our life? By what? By faith. The just shall live in faith. Because if you don't believe stuff that you don't understand, you will never worship and serve God properly. Because there's so much we don't understand. So religious figures, because they don't understand the oneness of God, they don't understand the unity of God, they had to make up stuff. And so they made up the Trinity, where God is three distinct, separate gods living in one Godhead. We'll talk about that in a minute, Godhead. In other words, there's a big Godhead somewhere, right? And there are three distinct, separate, autonomous gods. Autonomous means they do what they want to do, not what the other one wants them to do. And they're living in one Godhead. Then they say, well, maybe he's a triunity. A triunity is no different from a trinity. Then they say, maybe he's a tripartite. Three in one. But he still conveys the same message. But there is but one God. You hear what I said? There is but one God. So we want to explore that today because that's what the lampstand or the menorah tell us. That the Holy Spirit, it represents the Holy Spirit, but it tells us that the Holy and the gold represent the deity. The Holy Spirit is not separated from the deity. You getting it? You could not piece this together, because if you pieced it together, then something else came in to the deity. But the Holy Spirit is connected as a unit into the deity. And the deity is Yahweh. Am I getting too deep for y'all? If I am, let's go. Let's let Apostle Shaul talk to you. Colossians. If you got it, say praise Yahweh. Beware. 8th verse. 2nd chapter, 8th verse. Beware. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, watch yourself. Say, neighbor, stay on your toes. Neighbor, be careful. See, he's trying to say to you, you need to be alert as Christians. You need to be alert as believers, because there are things out there that's trying to destroy you. Beware, lest any man spoil you. Spoil has the idea of sulegogio in the Greek, meaning to carry you off. You know, when a nation came in and defeated another nation, they carried off the people to wherever they wanted them to go. There are some folks out here that don't want the Church of Yeshua to exist, and they want to carry you off to wherever they are located. Beware, lest any man, spirits work through people. So when you start following people, you're following spirits. I don't ask you to follow me as Will T. Washington. I ask you to follow me as I follow Yeshua. And when I get out of line with the Yeshua, you keep on following him. You understand? I'm not the object here. I don't want to be the object here. I just want to be a witness. I don't want you to esteem me above normal. I don't want you to lift me higher than I ought to be lifted. I want you to look at me as I am pointing to Yeshua. And if I get out of line, kick me to the curb and keep on following. Hallelujah. But you got people out there that want you to follow them. They want you to follow their charisma. They want you to follow how good they can preach. Look at me. Follow me. Yeah, I'm going to lay hands on you and something good going to happen to you. I'm the one. Watch yourself. Be careful. Lest any man spoil you, carry you off away from God. And here's how he'll do it. Through philosophy. You know, this investigative thing. You look at it. Is this true? Is that true? If that is true, how can this be true? And da, da, da. And so you'll begin to listen to them, how they are shaping words and theories. And vain deceit. Vain means without purpose. Meaning it has no purpose to it. Deceit means that they are giving you false impression of what the reality is. After the tradition of men. Tradition means something that's passed down. My mama was a Baptist. My grandmama was a Baptist. My great-grandpapa was a Baptist. I'm going to remain a Baptist. See, that's passed what? That's passed down. See, my mama and my grandmama were Methodists. But when it come down to salvation, I had to look for myself. You understand? I had to accept what I knew was true from the Word of God. I couldn't take what grandmama passed me down to be a Methodist. After the tradition of men handed down, after the rudiments of the world, you are a Scorpio, so you act like this. You know, that's talking about the heavenly bodies. You are a Leo. You are a Sagittarius. And you know a Scorpio and a Leo can't get along, so don't marry a Leo. See? They'll bring you all this. Some of you, if your horoscope say don't go outside today, you try to stay in the house. Huh? If your horoscope says you got a blessing coming from somewhere, you start looking for a blessing. Because you are a what? Scorpio. And you'd be surprised how you can get mixed up in that stuff. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But some of you are reading about what you are in regards to the heavenly bodies. Am I wrong? I'm not wrong, am I? When you start worshiping that, because it's where your heart is who you're worshiping. When that becomes important in your life, it supersedes God. It supersedes Yeshua. After the rudiments of the world, and not after Mashiach. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Didn't I say when people can't explain something, they make up stuff? This Godhead, there's no such thing. This word for Godhead is theotis, meaning divinity. In him dwelt the fullness of divinity. Who is he talking about? Who is he talking about? You don't know who he's talking about, do you? He's talking about Yeshua. In him dwelt the fullness of divinity bodily. And bodily simply means in its entirety. So there is no Godhead, because that, well, you can explain that. Other words, it's not a word that is in the Testament. It is something that somebody made up. All they had to do was to say what I said. In him dwelleth the fullness of divinity entirely. Other words, he was God. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principalities and powers. You don't need nothing else but him. Huh? All you need is him, because you have everything you need in him. You don't have to look anywhere else, to any other God, to any other thing. You have everything you need in him. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, he has everything I need. And he is God. Hallelujah. 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 Who's the head of all principalities? That word principalities, arche in the Greek, meaning everything that's governed in the universe, everything that rules in the universe, he's the head of it. There's nothing that is not under his control. You are a blessed people because you are complete in him. You don't have to look anywhere else. Now, he revealed that to us, but it's hard to understand how Yeshua could be a man and still be Yahweh, and how the Holy Spirit could be the Holy Spirit and still be Yahweh. How Yahweh is the Holy Spirit and Yeshua at the same time. That's hard to understand, isn't it? Some things you have to accept in faith, simply because the word said it was that way. Look at Yohanan 10. Yohanan 10, 30. And Yeshua to his disciples made this comment. I and my Father are one. Now, you could extrapolate from here anything you want to extrapolate. You could just say they was in agreement. But he was going further than that, and the Yehudim knew he was. He says, I and my Father are one. Then the Yehudim took up stones again to stone him. Yeshua answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? 33 verse. The Yehudim answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou being a man maketh thyself Yahweh, or maketh thyself God. They could not understand that. You are a man, but yet you're saying you're God. Some of you might have some problem with that. That's why the Holy Spirit wanted me to teach this unity of the lampstand. More knowledge, more power. Half knowledge, half power. Full knowledge, full power. No knowledge, no power. You all could become very powerful people by just listening and following this message on the tabernacle. Even when Yeshua clearly stated, now here you could have extrapolated a little bit different from here, but when he clearly explained who he was, it still was hard to understand. 14th chapter. Do you all really want to study something, or you just want me to shine you on and let you get out of here early? I hope you want to learn. I've been studying all of my saved life. Ask anybody that know me. When you come to my office, I'm in the Word. Always study. Because I know that there's so much to know of the vastness of God, the vastness of our salvation. The scripture says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither have it entered into the hearts of men, the things that Yahweh has prepared for those that love him. There's so much to know. And I've been studying 50 years. And there's so much I don't know. You all who've been studying a couple of years, don't try to measure yourself by me. I'm a giant. You're just a little piggly wiggly. Now, I'm not trying to be smart. I'm just trying to tell the truth. A piggly wiggly. I'm trying to help you grow up. But don't think you know more than me. Now, I'm not trying to magnify myself, but I want to give you some information to help you settle down and learn something. If you think you know more than me, then you don't need anything else. And you can't hear me if you know more than me. He don't know what he's talking about. Well, think again. 14th chapter, the third verse. This is written in red, so it means what? Yeshua said it. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So he said, there's a place that I have prepared for my people. You might make it there before I come, but you'll still get there if you are in my word. I'm going to return again, and I'm going to receive you unto myself, and I'm going to take you to this place that I have prepared for you. In other words, you have a future. You have a future that extends beyond this natural world. There's a place for you in glory. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to take you to that mansion in glory. That's my hope. Is that your hope? My hope is that I will be with him in that place. And since eyes have not seen it, ears have not heard about it, it's so glorious, we can't even imagine it. But we'll be with him in that place. Fourth verse. And whither I go, ye know, and the way, you know. Yeshua assumes that because he's told them the way, that they know the way. I am amazed at some believers who have heard the word, yet they say they don't know. These people are the same way, these disciples. He said, and whither I go, you know. And the way, you know. Now watch. Thomas said unto him, Lord, Yeshua, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? He said, you know the way. I told you before the way. And yet Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? Yeshua said unto him, I am the way. Get this. I am the way. Jesus is not the way. Boy, God, go out. I am the way. If you don't go my way, hit the highway. My way or the highway. I know that's kind of smart. I don't want to mess this up by some little cliche, because I want you to be serious about this. Yeshua said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, I am the truth. There cannot be two truths. There can only be one truth about him, and I am the truth, and I am the life. I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you're not coming through me, you're not coming to God.
Well, they got all these other churches out there. I don't care how many thousands or millions of churches they have.
He is the only way to Yahweh. There is no other way. If there is another way, Yeshua did not tell the truth here. And the Bible said God cannot lie. But we, as human beings, we want to decide the way. We want to decide what way we go. And then we got to make up stuff about getting in. I know I'm getting in. I don't care what you say. Yeshua said, no man, somebody say woman, cometh unto the Father but by me. It's the only way. You can't go by Jehovah. You can't go by Jesus. You can't go by Muhammad. You can't go by Krishna. You must go through Yeshua. Now, it doesn't matter whether you like it or not. If you want to get in, isn't it quite foolish for us to think we know more than God? If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from his forth, you know him and have seen him. Now, this can't be much more explicit. How did they see God? How did they see Yahweh? Because they saw Yeshua. He said, you've seen God and don't know it. You've seen God in human flesh. But if you look beyond the human flesh, he said to them, look at what I've done. I've opened the eyes of the blind. I have raised the dead. I have opened the ears of those who could not hear. I have healed lame folks. I have caused the wind to cease and the waves to cease. I have changed water into wine. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, because only God can do that. Only God can do that. Eighth verse. Philip said unto him, Yeshua, show us the Father. He just said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Philip come right back and say, Lord, show us the Father. And it will suffice us. In other words, we'll be satisfied. Yeshua said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? I've spent all of this time with you. You're telling me to show you the Father? And I've spent all of this time with you, and you didn't know me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Now, look, I realize this is getting a little deep for beginners, because it's, but some things we must accept in faith. It cannot be explained naturally. How could he be on earth and still be in heaven? He said he was on earth and in heaven. We have to accept that in faith. the just shall live in their faith. If you did not have to have faith, then nothing would mean anything. You could live this any way you wanted to. If you could understand everything and explain everything, you would not need faith. But because there are things that you cannot explain, you cannot rationalize, you have to accept it because the word of Yahweh said. Yeshua said he was the Father. No sense in arguing with him. Just accept it. Heaven testifies that there is but one God. Look at 1 Johannes 5:7. For there are three, 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven. Record. Mathuria. Testimony. Evidence. There's three that bear testimony and evidence in heaven. The Father, the Word, which we know is Yeshua, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are what?
One.
Did I make this up? Somebody said Word. These three are what?
One.
And there are three that bear witness. Same word, Greek word, in the earth, the spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. You must accept the blood of Yeshua. You must be baptized in water in the name of Yeshua, and you must receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they agreed then that you're saved. If you don't have all three, your testimony is not true. Well, let's read it again. And there are three that bear witness, they first, in the earth. The spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. That this is the only way you can be saved. 9th verse. Now here's a logical. Now he's going to apply some logics to you all. If you receive the witness of men, the witness of Yahweh is greater. See, some things you just receive from men because they said it. If you receive witness from men, wouldn't you be foolish not to accept the witness of Yahweh? And there are three that bear that record in our witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are what? And if you receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, Yahweh. This is the witness, what? Of Yahweh, which he has testified of his son. This is the witness of Yahweh. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. There are three that bear witness in the earth, the spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. Some would say to you, that seventh and eighth verse is not in the original translation. Well, I would say to them, where did you read the original? They are receiving the witness of men. I have not seen an original translation that says anything different than what this says. But if we want to accept what they say and say this is not in the original translation, then God does not rest his truth on one scripture. Look at Ephesians 4. My time is running out. But I got to get through this because this is important. Ephesians 4. And we'll start at the second verse. With all lowliness, and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. You have to humble yourself if you're going to walk with God. No man that exalt, a woman that exalt themselves can walk with God. It's impossible. But we are to forbear one another, or to bear with one another, because we are saved, we must bear one another in love. I might not like how you act, but I got to love you still. And I got to believe that if I keep praying for you, God's going to bring you around. Right. Hallelujah. You might be a tough cookie, but I got to love you. Look at your neighbor as a neighbor. I love you. And I'm not going to say regardless of how you act. Now, the third verse. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So he says, we must endeavor, spoudazo, diligent, to maintain the unity of the Spirit, the oneness. Unity means one. The oneness, the henotes, the oneness of the Spirit. That's what we're talking about. That's what the lampstand is talking about. The oneness of the Spirit. And we must be diligent to maintain the oneness of the Spirit. Because there's so many theories out there. We got to work hard to maintain that oneness. And here's what he says because of that. There is one body. There is not a Baptist body, a Methodist body, a Pentecostal body, a Presbyterian body. There's just one body. I said there's one body. There's one body and one Spirit. There is not one Spirit that speak in tongues and another that don't, and another that you don't know when he comes, but he does come, you say. You can't have a thousand churches thinking one thing about the Spirit when there's only one Spirit. So what we want to search for is the truth of God's word about the Spirit. Even as we are called in one hope. There's not a hope for the Baptist, a hope for the Methodist. There's one hope. One Lord, one faith, one faith. one baptism. There's not a baptism in the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. There's not a baptism that said, I baptize you unto God. There's only one baptism. We ought to seek and see where we can find that baptism in Scripture. You don't have to say nothing. What did I tell you all? I can preach in the dark. One God, six verse. One God. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, there's only one God. It's one God. One Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So we might look at 1 John and say, well, that's not in the original scripture. But when we come to Ephesians, it said, we got to fight for this unity of the Spirit. to know that God is not divided, that there are not three different persons in the Godhead, and there's no Godhead. There's no three different persons who has all of divinity residing in them. For there is one body. Now, you might say to me, well, Apostle, you missed it. You're in the wrong body. Well, I would say to you, then let's search the scripture. See, it said that the saints in Berea was more honorable because they searched the scripture. I can't argue you over logics, but I can say if I'm wrong, let's search the scripture and find out if I'm right. But first of all, I know nobody can argue over this. His name is Yeshua. There's no one can argue that. And if you argue that, you're just out on a limb that you're sowing off. Because if you go anywhere for any translation of the Hebrew, you can get nothing but Yeshua. There is no other. On the day of Pentecost, they was all baptized in the Holy Ghost, and they spake in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I'm in there. I spoke in tongues. And the others cried out, men and brethren, what must we do? Cephas said, repent and be baptized in the name of Yeshua. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm in scripture. If I'm wrong, God is wrong. I have no agenda. I don't want to do any specific thing. All I want is what God wants. And I accept the fact that God is truth. Endeavoring to maintain the unity of the Spirit. There's so many people trying to chop God up. Everybody got their little piece of God. Hey, you know, I'm Baptist, so that means all you have to do is be baptized and you say,
well, I'm Methodist, you just sprinkle. And so I've chopped God into a Methodist.
Well, I'm Baptist, you can. We'll baptize you, but if you ain't baptized, that's okay. You still saved.
But there's only one Bible, salvation. Now, if I'm wrong, sue me. You can't win this in in the heavenly court. Because I know I'm in the Word. Not one place in the Word. I'm all over the Word. Read Acts of the Apostles. In the 9th chapter, the 19th chapter, the 8th chapter. Just keep on reading and see. Did they receive the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues and was baptized in Yeshua's name? Now, I know the English text said Jesus. There has never been a man on planet Earth named Jesus. Prove it to me and I'll give you $50. And I won't argue. Jesus is a name that appeared in 1611 translation of the King James Version of the Bible. Even in the earlier translation of King James, it did not appear. Where that name came from, nobody knows. No one knows. So somebody says, well, it don't make no difference. Oh, yes. Acts said it is the only name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. So my brothers and my sisters, go back to the menorah so we can end there. We don't want to end without going back to the menorah. Oh. Got it backwards, I guess. Yeah. One piece, one unity. Oh, it has all the different lamps, but it's all one piece, not broken into pieces. And it speaks to us, of course, of the Holy Ghost, but it also speaks to us of the oneness and the unity of God. That God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, all by himself. Bow your head. Father, Yahweh, we come to you in the blessed name of Yeshua, HaMashiach, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We thank you. First of all, we thank you for the truth. For the truth is the thing that would make us free from error, free from supposition, free from the theories of man. And there is but one truth, and that is Yahweh. Yeshua said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming to the Father except by me. For those who have heard my voice here today, let the Holy Spirit begin to minister to them that if they can prove that I am wrong, I will humbly submit myself to the truth if they have a truth that is of you. But I know you. And I know your word. So help those that are here today to grab hold to this truth and begin to live out their lives in Yahweh with confidence that they are saved according to the word. And there is but one God and there is none other. And we thank you for that. In Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen. Keep your head bowed. There might be someone here today.